Let's open your Bibles, Matthew chapter 8. You can open your Bibles. On your paper are going to be all three scriptures that we will refer to. With this, I'm going to have you turn to a few other passages, as I many times do as well. But these are going to be this story, and the title of the message this morning is Learning from Jesus. Now, for the most part, there are lost people in here. Some of you don't know you're lost. Some of you do know you're lost, but this message I'm going to preach this morning is primarily to the saved. You say, I am a believer. I love Jesus. I want to honor him with my life. I want to tell you this. What the Bible teaches is then our objective as Christians. You say, I'm a Christian. Our objective as a Christian is to be like Jesus. And so I want to make sure, sometimes I think I can get into something other than Christ. I know that sounds crazy. I don't want to do that when I preach. And this is just so obvious to me. It wasn't a difficult passage, but I want us to learn about our Savior. If you're saved this morning, He is your Savior. He is your Master. He is your King. And how do we honor the King? And so I just want us to learn from this passage this morning four things that I want us to see. Let's look at the first passage that deals with this, the shortest one in our text, Matthew 8, verse 14. It says, and when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, now this is in Capernaum, whatever you want to call it. And so we've been there where the synagogue was that Jesus would have been in, and Peter's house was pretty close to the synagogue, if not adjacent to it. So it's right there, right in the town. We saw what was possibly Peter's house, but we don't know for sure. But it says, and when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, the he is Jesus. And she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, the same day, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now let's read Mark chapter 1. Same exact story, but gives us additional information, some at a different angle. Mark chapter 1 verse 29 says, and forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew, with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon, or immediately, they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. Verse 32. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers or different diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak out, and departed to speak because they knew him. Excuse me. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therewith came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. Now let's look for the third time. This same setting, same true story is mentioned in Luke chapter 4 on your handout. Luke chapter 4 verse 38 says, and he, Jesus, arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, thou art the Christ, thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. Again, title of the message this morning, Learning from Jesus. I actually love, you know, it's kind of, you know, I love the word searches things, you know. It's been a long time since I've done those. I guess I did one at the marriage retreat I was at. And, you know, where you find the different words. This one is find the different and additional information that the Bible gives with these different stories. So here's the situation. They're in Capernaum. They come out of the synagogue. And so they go into Peter's house, and Peter's mother-in-law is sick. And so I joke with folks, right? The Roman Catholic Church claims that Peter is the one that the church was founded on. And, you know, they teach celibacy, that the priests and popes are not to be married. Poor Peter had a mother-in-law without a wife, I guess. But Peter had a wife, and he had a mother-in-law. And so I've got good news for you. The church was built on Christ, not on a man. There's no man. Peter was a great servant of the Lord, but he was a sinner just like you and me. But his mother-in-law was sick. The Bible says in other passages, she had a great fever. And Jesus comes to the house, hears, and touches her hand, and then she begins to serve them. And then that evening, apparently he's at the door of Peter's house. I'm imagining him sitting. He has flesh, and so he is weary, and they just bringing people that are sick, and they're bringing people that are possessed with demons, and it's interesting. It's interesting, right? It's hard to know. Maybe they brought people that they thought were sick, and it was really demon possession. See, Jesus could decipher that. They thought it was an illness, and it was really a demon. I'm telling you, just so you know, believers cannot be possessed by anyone other than the Holy Spirit. So I don't want you to misunderstand that, but I'm convinced that demon possession exists as much as it did in the first century. I mean, because when you read the Bible, you've heard me talk about this all the time. It's sort of like every corner Jesus walked around, demon possession, and what? That doesn't happen today? I think it does. See, I think we call it sickness, and sometimes it is. He rebuked the fever. Sometimes I think they may have brought them to him, but he had great compassion. First thing I want you to see about Jesus is that Jesus truly loved the people. I go back to this, and maybe every time I talk about Jesus, I want to talk about this. The Bible says this, and it's crystal clear, and I need to learn this from Jesus. I need to pay attention about this from Jesus. We can do every single thing right. And if we do not have love, then we have missed the mark, and we've wasted our time. It's a daunting passage, is it not? It's 1 Corinthians 13. It says you could be the greatest speaker ever, and if you don't have love, it's like you're just clanging cymbals together and no one can hear a thing you're saying. You can give your body to be burned. You can be a martyr. And if you don't have love, it's nothing. Jesus, let me tell you this. Every time you see him do something, it's with great love. I want you to look at that first passage that I have there, and I've been challenged by it. I always have a message ready. So just in case Ryed gets sick this afternoon, which I'm not planning on, but my message for tonight isn't fully developed because I'm planning on you being here, so I'll work on it a little bit more this afternoon. Even though you look great, but we always need to be ready. Just always need to be ready, right? So, but for the most part, this week, as I was doing difference between my just personal time in the Word of God and my message preparation, I had one message to prepare. And a lot of time just dealing with a baby, right? Because, you know, I mean, I don't know, I'm not Mr. Baby Guy, but I mean, I've enjoyed it. It was a great time. But it was so, I just pondered this passage. I want you to look at this. I just want you to see. I want you to look at, let's read Matthew 8, 14 through 17. I just want to show you something that just has overwhelmed me this week. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his mother's wife laid and sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. But verse 16, when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah, or Isaias in Greek, the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. I want you to turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 53. I'm not going to be dogmatic about this, but I've sort of heard this in the past, and I've just I've pondered this week. I want you to notice this too. It's interesting. I want you to notice. Look at Luke chapter 4 verse 40 on your paper while you're turning to Isaiah 53 on your paper. Luke chapter 4 verse 40. It says this. Now when the sun was setting, all that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them. Have you ever been fascinated with the fact that I am so not a touch person, right? And I've always just been blown away that Jesus, you know, he sticks his fingers in people's ears, he spits on clay, he's very physical, and it's all appropriate, it's all good. But I always struggle relating, but I think this passage has helped me. And it's just good. I want you to look at Isaiah 53, verse 4. That's what Matthew 8, 17 is referring to. Isaiah 53 is talking about the Lamb of God, which Jesus Christ fulfilled. Surely he, speaking of the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one, the promised one, surely he, Isaiah 53, 4, hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. I want you to listen to this. I didn't know this. The word griefs there, it's a good translation. I'm not challenging the translation, but I love this. It is that Hebrew word there is used 24 times in the Old Testament. 12 times it's translated sickness. 7 times it's translated disease. 4 times it's translated grief, and 1 time it's translated sick. It could easily say, surely he hath borne our diseases. That word means the diseases of the body. The word born means to take upon himself, to wear, to carry. I want to tell you, it's been just so helpful, because here's my first response. I love when I have longer to ponder messages. And I just had, my schedule was wide open this week, so I just had time to sit and meditate on it. And, you know, everywhere I went, Flynn, the dog, was there, right? But I was still able to concentrate. And that poor, you know, I think dogs go through depression. He is struggling. He was like the king of the house, and now he's like, well, Flynn, if you die, we'll cry. See you later. No, they love Flynn, but comparison to Elia, Flynn is like second rate. Anyway, but when I was studying this, I was blown away. So here's what I first did with Matthew 8:17. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. I spiritualized it. And I'm not going to be dogmatic, but I'm telling you this. I really believe this. I believe that's what it's teaching when it says, surely he hath borne, he hath worn, he hath carried our griefs, our sicknesses, our infirmities, the diseases of our body. When Christ was on the cross, we know this. We know this from 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We know this, that God placed the sin of all the world upon Jesus Christ. Jesus did not sin, but when he took upon himself our sin, God the Father had no choice, because he is just and holy, but to pour out his wrath on Jesus. So we understand that. And I will tell you this. What I see here is, it's this. And just the prayer request this week. And I, I want you to understand this. You know, we've got Lana, who is just struggling, and Lana's not here today, struggling with chemotherapy and just her health for all these years. Lana's only 50 years old. We've got Ron's mother, just yesterday found out about this, and we don't know, but it's by all what we can know to this, it's not looking good. And your uncle, and we've got your two fathers, and we've got Linda Easton, that's just week in and week out, and it's going on years now, just struggling, long-term difficulties. Let me tell you, I really believe this, and I've never really had this thought. I've pondered it, and I'm not going to discount it. When Jesus took upon himself our sin, I think he also took upon himself the pain of our diseases. I want you to understand that what I see in this passage, and it was meaningful to me, I'm not going to hold anybody's hand, but it would be like, I believe when he'd look in their eyes, and it says he touched every one of them, and he didn't need to. We just saw the centurion's servant. He said, go. He's fine. And when they asked, what time was he? Was he well? At the very same hour that Jesus said he would be well. Jesus didn't need to touch him. But he touched him. Because he loved him. Here's what I imagine. And I promise you, I'm not trying to... this is not to apologize for anything. But I can see the Lord. And I want you to understand this. It is, you know, like even Ellen, trigeminal neuralgia, right? I believe that Jesus, when he was on the cross, I believe he knows exactly what that feels like. You know why? It's not necessarily Ellen's sin. I'm not saying that. But it's a result of sin. Now he'll be gone. You see, he rebuked the fever. Hey, that's not right. He rebuked the devils. I'll tell you, I'm going to keep searching the scriptures. I don't think he ever touched anybody that he when he rebuked the devils. But he did because he cares. I believe when he was on the cross, this is just, I don't know why this is meaningful to me this week, but it was like when I think about his body, what he went through, I think he wore all our sicknesses. Jesus does understand what you're going through because that is the result of sin. And he took that result on his body. And when I see him, I can imagine him. I mean, this is just, when he touches them, he didn't have to. But he sort of looks at them and goes, you know, this, it wasn't created to be this way. And he loved them. And he cared for them. And he had compassion on them. And he's broken by it, not in a weakness perspective. But I want you to understand this. When Hebrews tells us that we don't have a high priest that can't be touched with our infirmities, but we have a high priest that can, I'm convinced that when it references Isaiah 53:4, and then when I go back and I better understand Isaiah 53:4, I believe this, that all of our physical ailments that are a result of sin, I didn't say it's your personal sin. I just want to tell you this, when sin and death are destroyed, there'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more pain. It will all be gone. Because that is not how God created everything. And he's going to make it all right. Here's the question. Why your mom? I don't know. Why your dad? Why did he have to have two-thirds of his leg cut off? I don't know. Those are tough things, right? They're just hard. I struggle. I see people and they struggle. And I will tell you this. I only know Steve Hall. And you know what? If God put that on me, I'd be like, man, that is just... But I'm healthy. You never know what's raging inside your body. But I can't answer the why, the specific person. But here's what I want you to understand. Jesus, he does understand. Your grandma. I mean, all sickness, all disease is a result of a sin-cursed world and a broken world. Jesus knows exactly. You see, I don't understand how everything happened on the cross. How that he could take my eternal damnation in 3 hours. I think really the wrath of God was poured out between noon and 3 when the lights went out. God said, nobody's watching this. And so, because Jesus is an eternal being, but I want to tell you, it wasn't that it was just 3 hours. He took my eternal punishment, and I believe he also bore my infirmities. I tell you this, here's what why I think this is meaningful. It's meaningful to me. I've seen some pictures from the Ukraine, and I don't know. I'm big into babies now, right? I'm big into babies now. And I look at Elia, and I saw these NICU wards that, you know, there were some hospitals that were bombed in the Ukraine. And I saw these little babies in the basement. They're most likely going to die. And I don't understand all that, but I know my Savior does. My Savior cares for those babies. I think about those things, and I don't always have the answers, but I want you to understand this. The Lord Jesus Christ, He understands, and He knows. You may disagree with my perspective on this passage, and I've heard people make comments about this before, but this is the passage. And I didn't understand that Isaiah 53:4 was really talking about the diseases of our body, that He bore those. And maybe this is not new to you, but oh, what a Savior. He's always better than we think. He is. He's done more than you think you know. What He went through on the cross, we don't understand. And I don't know, Juan, it's not a great deal of comfort, specifically when you see your dad in agony and there's just no words for it, right? But I do want you to understand this. I think you can lay your head down and talk to the Lord and just say, I know you know. Help me be comforted by you knowing exactly what's happening, because I don't. I will tell you, when Jesus, He went through these towns, and you got to understand, Capernaum was one of the cities that rejected Him. And it was sort of His, quasi-headquarters, right? And He did more works there than almost any other place. But it didn't keep Him from loving them. You see, the omniscient God knew that Capernaum would reject Him. Yet, all that came to the house, the Bible says, He healed. And I think He healed, and He did it individually, and He loved them, and He cared. And I will tell you, it's like when my family gets together, I'll just tell you, so my daughters are two nurses. Man, I get my nurse fill for the decade, right? And April, I just learned that you were a nurse, so I got to be careful now. Any other nurses in here? I love nurses, right? But so here, I actually, when you have 9 hours to drive home, you think about a lot of stupid things. So we talk about these things, right? Nursing homes and the labor shortage and my mother-in-law's aunts in a nursing home, and there's just not enough people to help the people that are there, and it's tragic, right? And the greatest issue, I think, is this. And so, April, I say this to my daughters all the time. Don't get jaded. It's easy to, though, isn't it? You're overwhelmed. You don't have enough time to really do your job as well as you want. It's the staffing issue is both nurses, and it's in nursing homes, and it's probably the number one reason that I would prefer not to go to a hospital, not because I don't believe in nurses and doctors. It's just you're overwhelmed. The system is stretched to the max. But don't get jaded. Jesus didn't. We've got to open our hearts. We've got to love people. We've got to care for people. And we've got to be vulnerable. And that's going to be painful sometimes. But don't get jaded about people. People can be absolute jerks. Preachers can be absolute jerks. Oh, don't get jaded by people. Look at them individually. And have love and compassion. We say we want to be like Jesus. His greatest quality is love. He wasn't going through the motions. Do you know this? I'll get to that because I'm gonna preach that in a second. But I want you to just understand. I want you just to dwell on this. I want you to study Matthew 8:17, Isaiah 53:4. I'm not being dogmatic on it, but I'll tell you this. I am utterly convinced. I've spent plenty of time this week. I really believe Jesus bore all the consequences of our sin, and I believe that includes the physical suffering that is a consequence of sin in general. You follow me? I'm not saying that your mother or your father or your father, but it's sin in general. It just makes a lot of things ugly. A lot of things ugly. Second thing I want you to see, Jesus was sought after by the people. You know, I talk about this a lot, and one of the hardest parts of Christianity, I think all of you, you know, I talk about it enough. You want to teach somebody, right? And you're like, who? Give me somebody to teach. And you can be so frustrated. You're like, I want to teach somebody so that I can just shut my pastor up. It's not because of that. I want to teach somebody because you believe it's the Bible. And so what I see with Jesus is, look at Luke chapter 4, verse 38. It's on your front page, so you can just look there. Luke 4, 38, and it says, and he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house, and Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. Look up at Matthew 8, 16. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word. They brought them unto him. I want to live my life so that people would see me as a help. And I want to separate that from being a pastor. But here's if we want to be like Jesus, we want to be like Jesus, then people will see you as a help. People will see you as a blessing. And here's what you want to do. And I've got to train my mind because I'm not always like this. I get phone calls. I've told you this time and time again. One of the greatest surprises about being a pastor, I'd served in almost every possible capacity prior to being a pastor. There wasn't much different except for this one thing was major: phone time. Average week, I'm on the phone 15 to 20 hours. Some weeks it's way more, some it's a little less. But so here's my attitude sometimes. Duh! I don't want to answer the phone. Let me tell you know what I should do? If I'm thinking like Jesus, what an honor somebody's calling me. And then when they sell me something, I'll be like, no, thank you. But, you know, so it's not always spiritual. But do we view it that way? Do we view our lives as lives that are willing to be interrupted from our plans, from the plans that we had? Or do we reject that? You see, James 3, 17 and 18. Just turn to James 3, 17 and 18 real quickly. Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, toward the end of your Bible. Hebrews, larger, James, smaller, 1st, 2nd Peter, small. So you get to 1st, 2nd Peter if you've gone too far. Hebrews, James chapter 3. I want to show you this. James chapter 3, verse 17 says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. These are the attributes. If you have wisdom from God, it's first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. What I want you to do is, I want you to look at that fourth, or excuse me, the fourth description. First pure, then peaceable, then gentle, easy to be entreated. It is entreat, to ask. Easy. You're easy to be asked. You're easy to be asked for help. You're easy to be entreated. I will tell you this. That's what we should ask God. Oh God, give me wisdom. Wisdom from above means that when my phone rings, I'm happy for the interruption. It's an opportunity to serve the Lord. I don't always have that attitude because I'm not always thinking like Jesus. But I will tell you this. What he did was, he said, you know what? They seek me. I'll sit at the door. Bible doesn't say he was sitting. I only imagine that. But he was kind of at the door, and they would file by, and he would touch them. It wasn't just, you know what? You're all healed. Now go home. He didn't do that. He said, Stephen Tillery, I created you. Come on by. Was it just, you know, kind of like at the end of a game, yeah, good game. You know, was he doing? I don't think so. But I want you to understand this, is that they sought after him, and he was easy to be entreated. He said, you know what? That doesn't mean that we are just easy to be entreated with sinful things, but it's easy to be entreated with holy things, with godly things. Want to be like Jesus? I think we need to love like Jesus. Want to be like Jesus? I ask myself this. Do people seek after me for help? I want more people in my life. And you see, I study these passages and I think, well, I just need to receive the people that God puts in my life and just trust the Lord in that and be happy with that. And I ask, I just, you know, I pray when I prepare a message, oh God, send me more people and give me a good attitude. Give me a good attitude. You need help? How can I help? You need help? How can I help? You see, that's the Christian spirit that we ought to have. We ought to be yes people, not no people. Jesus was a yes person. We're going to see at the end, there was a time that he had to do other things. Okay? Third thing I want you to see that I see, he was tireless. Look at Mark in your verses there. Mark verse 32 and 33. It says, and at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. So the sun setting, y'all should be going home. That's when they started coming. And so I want you to look down at verse 35 of Mark chapter 1. And in the morning, so I love the Bible makes sure of this. Some of your mornings are different than other mornings. You know, so Stephen Schultz, his morning's at 4:30 a.m. Anybody else get up earlier than 4:30 a.m.? What time?
About 3:40.
3:40. Got anybody be up before 3:40? 3:15. Okay, so you want to be spiritual. Do I hear 3:10 for tomorrow? No sleep. You don't know what time zone you're in, right? You're going out west and back east. So Ryad is struggling with where am I, right? So it is, but Jesus, what I want you to understand this, he was up late, we don't know how late, but I don't think he was rushing. You know, you go to a doctor, and we're most impressed with doctors when all they do is just take time. They just close the door, they set their thing down, and they just sit down and say, tell me how you're doing. I'll tell you that they could be the worst doctor in the world, be like, man, he's awesome. He spent time with me. And so Jesus, you know what he did? Those people he healed, he spent time with them. I don't know how late it was, but then what I'm so blown away by Jesus, he understood this. He had given of himself physically. You know, remember when the woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of his garment? He said, who touched me? For virtue left me. I don't know. But I'm imagining, don't take this too far. He was exhausted when he healed. He gave of himself, and then somehow the Bible would suggest that even maybe then he's taken upon them the infirmities. He's taken it from them, and he will bear those infirmities for them. And so he's up late. We don't know how late, but then he gets up early. You know why? He prioritized prayer. He got up early. And here's what the Bible says. It was rising a great while before day. So just so you imagine, it wasn't at sunrise, which would be early. It was a great while before day, the Bible doesn't describe. But he was probably up late. And then he got up early because he said this, I need to refuel. And the best way to refuel is at the feet of his Father. I never want us to miss this. Jesus was tireless. Here's the reality. If you want to be used of God, there's going to be nights that you're going to be tired. There's going to be times that you're tired. And look, this isn't me. I'm just, all I'm doing is preaching the Bible. I don't think I'm preaching that to you because we have a lazy congregation. I do not believe we have a lazy congregation. I just want you to know this. I've got to fight. I have to fight my rights. I've worked hard. I need some rest. You know what? If there's a need, I don't need rest. But I'll tell you what I need. I need to be at the feet of Jesus. And let me tell you what's better than sleep is prayer. We need our sleep. I got it. You all know how much sleep you need, right? Teenagers are like, man, 12 just isn't doing it. You know, so I got it. Your whole body's just raging, right? And you got to get some more sleep. But I want you to know this. Don't neglect time with the Father. I'm challenged by this. So this week, I'm actually mapping out. I'm not doing 3:10, just so you know. But I'm going to rise up earlier than I normally do. My wife's not home. And I'm going to try. I'm not going to tell you everything I'm going to try to do. I'm going to try to spend some time alone with the Lord that's unique this week. I actually, don't you dare, she'll probably watch this, but I would love this. Here's what I'd love. It's a little test. I am going to try to walk with the Lord this week. I'm going to try to spend more time in prayer. And you know what's going to happen. The devil's just going to disrupt it. So when I pick her up from the airport, she'll know by the glow. There's my husband. And you know, she'll have to put a veil on my face. Because, you know, because I've been with the Lord. You know what I want to do? I want to develop a pattern that I know this. Are you tired? Get on your knees. Are you feeling weak? Maybe you don't have to rise up early. But get on your knees. Don't be too busy that you don't have time with just you and the Father. Jesus, he was tireless. And the fourth thing that I love, and maybe it's because I have an agenda, he never lost focus on his mission. Look at you, Will. Look at Mark chapter 1, verse 38, right there on your front page. Mark 1, 38. They had brought some more people to him, and they said, Lord, they all wait for you. Johnny Erickson Tata, you know, I've told this story before. This passage in Mark is what encouraged her. She was paralyzed at age 19 by a diving accident, so she knew what good health and a good life of physical just freedom was. She broke her neck, was a quadriplegic to this day. So she went to a lot of healing services, and she was just trying everything. Tons of people prayed for her, and she thought, well, it's my faith that will heal me. And when she read Mark, she got peace because she realized it's not the plan of Jesus to heal everybody. He came to preach the gospel. And let me tell you, he loves people. I will tell you this, I believe if you understand this passage the way I do, he can empathize with people. You know what empathy is? It means you've lived it. Jesus has borne all the diseases. He's borne all the sufferings. I can't empathize with most things of people. I feel like I'm a silver spoon Christian. But Jesus can. What I loved is this. He came to preach the kingdom of God and the gospel. So I want you to know this. I want us to be people that care for the physical needs of others. I don't know how we respond. Ron Jackson will be here 2 weeks from tonight. He's going to give us a full report on Ukraine. And we should at least be praying. But we need to have compassion. We need to help people physically. But I want you to understand this. Never go without the gospel. Never forget why we're here. God may open doors for us to help people physically. God may open doors for us to do things that are just temporal. And that's fine as long as we never forget why he opens those doors. And that's for the preaching of the gospel and the lifting up of the name of Jesus Christ. I never want us to forget that. Why are we here, Christian? Jesus said, I came therewith to preach. And then he would look in the eyes of a little girl that was sick. And he would grab her hand and he would heal her. He did it all. You see, I wonder, I'm not going to make it a big piece, I'm almost finished. Did you notice that he told the devils that he rebuked and he cast out? I was going to say he told them to shut up, but that would make Jesus look like a punk, and he wasn't a punk. He told them to be quiet. I've studied this and thought about it and meditated on it for, I don't know. And one of the reasons why he told them to be quiet, it wasn't yet his time. It wasn't his time. But I'm convinced of this. He didn't want the devils to be his ambassadors. He didn't want the devils to be declaring who he was. He wanted you and I, as his followers, as believers, to be the ones that declare who he is. I ask you this morning. Would he rather have you be quiet? Or would he rather have you herald him from the top of the mountain? You see, I'm thinking that most Christians in the 21st century have been convinced that it's best if I be quiet. He only told the devils to be quiet. Yes, I know he told Jairus to be quiet about the healing of his daughter. He told the leper that we looked about a few weeks ago. But for the most part, when we get to the demoniac from Gadara, he said, go tell everybody, and you're going to see when he returned. They were all waiting for him. One guy. Major difference. Never forget. I just want you to remember this. Are we learning from Jesus? Love, 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 love. That's what Jesus was all about. Jesus, people sought after him. Maybe ask God, oh God, I can't find somebody to teach. Would you send them my way? I'm telling you, how many of you have ever asked God to send somebody your way? Okay? Not as many of us asking to send somebody your way, and I wouldn't be surprised. Do you know this? I'm blown away. I didn't ask this morning for any lost people. Just didn't. I'm just being honest. You're like, you should. I will tell you this. I should remember more often. When I ask for somebody that's lost, you know, that just off the street, I've watched God. Why in the world would a lost person ever come here? Because there's a great God. And so sometimes he sends us to him. But you know what God's told us? He didn't say, sit back and wait. He said, go. But I'll tell you this. How about part of the portfolio? We just say, God, would you send somebody to me? I'm sure struggling finding somebody that'll just sit down with me and have a Bible study. So would you send somebody? And then you keep going. You keep asking. And I just think he might send somebody your way. And I'll tell you this, never forget. Why are we here? To represent the King. To share the gospel. And the best way to represent him is with love. Let's pray.